Amen. We're going to begin our teaching today. Let's turn to the second book of Timothy. We're going to chapter 4, and we are just going to read verse 7. Let me know when you're there. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is the Apostle Paul speaking through his letter to Timothy, one of his disciples. And here's one of the things he says to him. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Amen. Father Amen. God, we just thank you for this word, Lord God. I step back, Lord God, Holy Spirit. I allow you to speak. Hallelujah. Have your way this morning through this teaching. We thank you and we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So here we have this Apostle Paul. He's summarizing in this letter to Timothy, he's summarizing his journey. His journey that he's had in throughout his ministry, his Christian ministry. And there's three words here that I want to concentrate on. And here we have, he speaks about a good fight, right? He speaks about a fight, about finishing, and he keeps up, and he's speaking about faith. Amen. And I want to talk about those three today. I want to talk about the fight that we have as a believer, the fight, the struggles that we all know, the struggles that Paul had as a believer. We know the race that we're on. Hallelujah. And it's important for us to know that what he that started something in you, which is the Lord, you will finish. You will complete it. And Paul finished his race. Amen.
Yep.
And he didn't just finish it. He finished his race faithfully. He was a faithful soldier for Christ. Amen. He kept the faith. And these words that he's speaking, they aren't just words. These are realities, the realities for every believer. It's a reality for you. It's a reality for me, right? Mm-hmm. And what Paul is doing, he's drawing on a visual representation in Scripture, as we just read, about the Christian life, about when you walk, when you say yes to the Lord, you begin a battle. There's a battle that begins in life, amen, because the enemy does not want you, amen, to be saved. He does not want you to walk in unity. He does not want you to live for Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm. So there's a battle. And the flesh wants to continue to do what it used to do. But now you have a reborn spirit. Hallelujah. That now is able to say no to those sins and to the old ways and to the old habits. Amen. Mm-hmm. And this is a real race. This is a real, we are all in a race. If you said yes to the Lord, you're in a race, but you're not alone. You're with Christ. Amen. The Lord is with you, and he's calling each and every one of us to serve as a faithful soldier for him.
Amen.
And we know that the Christian life is not passive. It's far from being passive, amen. It is a fight that one must endure, just like Paul did. It is a race that we need to complete, just like Paul did. And it's a battle that we have to stay loyal in as a soldier for Jesus Christ, amen, because we are his soldiers. Amen. He's called us. He's already equipped us. He's already given us guidance. He's given us word. What better than Scripture? It is his word. Amen. So I want to talk to you about fighting the good fight, about finishing the race, and about keeping the faith. That's the word for today. Amen. Mm-hmm. So I want to start with fighting the good fight. Let's turn to the book of 1 Timothy, and let's begin in chapter 6, and let's go to verse 12. 1 Timothy. We're talking about Paul. Paul was a great, great and mighty men of God who wrote most of the Old Testament, New Testament letters. Amen. God really used them. Hallelujah. And he went on so many journeys, so many missions. Amen. And he led multitudes to Christ. Amen. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verse 12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Amen. So here we have, again, this is Paul writing to Timothy. But again, this is the word of God. This is God speaking to us today. He wants us to fight a good fight. The Christian life is a spiritual battle, but it's not against people. Remember, it's against principalities. And we as Christians, we are going to come against demonic forces because, again, I say, the enemy does not want you to serve God.
Amen.
Why? Because there's freedom in Christ. Yes, there may be battles, but let me tell you something. Let me remind you that at the cross, the Lord Jesus won the war. He won the battle. Amen. And he took back the keys that Adam, the first Adam gave to Satan. He took back those keys. Amen. So the enemy has no hold on you. He has no power at all, no authority anymore, because the Lord Jesus took away that from him. Amen. And because the Lord took that away from him, now we as believers, as Christians, we have the Holy One living in the inside of us, so we can say no to those principalities. We can say, not today, devil. No, because we have the power. We have the authority. Amen. And you will be tempted. The Christian life is for believers, is tempted every day. The flesh is still there, and there's still lust of the world. Amen. If we're not careful, we can lust the same way the world lusts in this world. This is why it's so important for us to renew our minds with the word. Amen. That's what it says in Romans 12:1-2. Amen. But we're not going there. Amen. Because we know this already. But this is a fight. But why does Paul say that it's a good fight? Not only did we read it here, but we also read it in the beginning, right? He's calling it a good fight. He's stating that the fight was a good one. And what makes any fight good? Well, for one thing, it makes it a good fight when we know the outcome. The outcome is already guaranteed because Jesus has already conquered all our foes for us. Amen. Yes. If God is for us, who can be against us? No one. No one. The problem is that the enemy comes in very, very subtly and tries to make you believe that he's bigger than God. And he's not. He's a little weeny little thing. Okay? Look at the enemy, or look at Satan like a small ant. Not aunt, ant. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, God is good. Amen. So, you know what? He wants you to think that he's bigger than God, but he's not. And all we have to do when the enemy comes at you, when he tries to fight against you, you got to remember the cross. You got to remember that you already have the victory, that the battle has already been won. And all you have to do is stand. Remember Ephesians 6:12, where it tells you to stand numerous times? It says to stand and stand in Christ's victory, which is also yours, because that makes the Christian life a good fight when we stand and when we know that the outcome is already done. Amen. The enemy was already defeated. He has to go back to the pit of hell where he belongs. He's got to go back to the abyss. He doesn't belong here. Amen. So that's why Paul calls it a good fight, because in every fight that he had, he conquered through Christ. He didn't conquer on his own. He conquered through Christ. When you make the Lord Jesus your partner, amen, you conquer through Christ. That's why it's called a good fight. And a good fight is worth fighting. A good fight is worth fighting. You're not fighting for victory. You're fighting from victory. Amen.
Amen.
You got to remember that. You're not fighting for victory. You already have it. So you're fighting from victory. It's already yours. Amen. Amen. And faith must be defeated. And not defeated. Faith must be defended. Amen. You got to nurture yourself with the word of God.
Yes.
You know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So you got to not just defend the faith that the measure of faith that God has given you. You got to feed on it. You got to feed on the word. And you have to exercise your faith daily. You can't live by faith today and not walk by faith tomorrow. It doesn't work that way. Because the reality is that the enemy comes to steal your belief. He comes to steal your identity. He comes to steal your purpose. And he comes to steal your faith. Amen? So we are in a real battle, and you got to stand. You got to stand for Christ. And you got to know how to fight. Amen? You got to know how to fight. And one of the ways you have to fight is with the word of God. With the word. Let's go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 4. Amen. This is one of the ways we can fight the enemy's tactics, because that's all there is. They're tactics. You know, he's just trying to scare you.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
But here what verse 4:4 says, when the Lord Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. Remember, the enemy came to tempt him. The devil came to tempt him. And in verse 4, let's read it before. And after the Lord had, verse 2, after the Lord had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, after he was hungry. Now when the tempter, that's the enemy, came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But here in Matthew 4:4, this is how the Lord answers. He answered and said, "It is written, a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Amen. So one of the ways that we can fight a good fight is by using the word of God and saying, "It is written." Amen.
Amen.
And remind the enemy of the word of God. And the word is food for our spirit. The word of God is nourishment. And food is essential for life. So is the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. So those who don't feed on God's word, if you're not feeding yourself with the word of God, you're going to become weak in your battle. And instead of standing, you may fall, and you may fall hard.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So those who don't feed on God's word cannot be spiritually healthy. Amen. Mm-hmm. Jesus answered, if we go on to the next verses, which we're not, but Jesus answered in every temptation with the words, it is written.
Mm-hmm.
And all he was doing, he was showing his knowledge of God's written word. And this is amazing, because remember, at that time there was no Bible.
Right.
He didn't have a personal copy of the living scriptures like we have today. But Jesus, King Jesus, was the word who became flesh. Amen.
Amen.
Another way we can fight is with prayer. Amen. With prayer. This is why it's so important for us to come together in unity, to pray together. Hallelujah. In this verse, and let's go to Ephesians 6:18. Let's go there, because God is showing us quite a few things, how we can fight the good fight of faith with these verses. But Ephesians 6:18, look at what it says. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. He's showing us right here. Listen, we all have a prayer language. We all have an angelic language. And God is saying, not only pray in the natural, But pray also in the spirit with all supplication towards God. Mm-hmm. Amen. Hallelujah. We got to pray. We got to stand. So in this verse, Paul is speaking of the last piece of the armor of God. Because remember, if you go back to Ephesians 6:10, it speaks about the whole armor of God. But in this section, we're coming with the last piece of praying. And this is the last piece of a Christian's armor, prayer. And the phrase here, all prayer means various kinds of prayer in the spirit and in the natural. Amen. You speak your own language. You can speak in Spanish or you can speak in English or you can speak in your angelic language. You can speak in tongues. Amen. So he's referring to these types of prayer. And prayer is more than just asking. There are prayers of praise. There are prayers of intercession. Amen. There are prayers that we give to God of thanksgiving. There are prayers that we do to God that we come in agreement with his word. There are prayers that we do to God in dedication. Amen. Yeah. And so you know what God is saying here, and I've heard it often, you know, we don't need to ask or to pray for something more than once. God is not deaf, people. Hallelujah. But we need to continue. Hallelujah. And we should continue to pray in different areas, in different forms of prayer, like in praise, in intervention, in intercession, in dedication, in agreement with the word. There's so many ways that we can pray. And Paul is showing us this is one of your key armors that a Christian has in his life. It is prayer, and prayer is powerful.
Yes, it is.
It is powerful.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Prayer is another form, church, of absolute dependence and reliance upon God for his divine intervention. You want God to divinely intervene in areas where you need intervention. You want God to divinely intervene in places in your kids' life, in your children's life, or even in your spouse's life. You need to pray.
Amen.
You need to pray. And when you pray in the spirit, you're praying the exact prayer that you need to do. Amen. Mm-hmm. Because your spirit knows. Amen. It knows what you need. And this is why it's so important to pray in the spirit, because when you pray in the spirit, amen, God already knows what your desires are. God already knows the prayers that you have lifted up to him, and God will answer. And if you're asking for guidance, God will give you the guidance. Whatever you need, the prayer in the spirit is the perfect prayer that anyone can do to God the Father.
Yes, God.
And it's a prayer that Satan cannot understand. Mm. May I remind you that Satan cannot read your thoughts? Satan cannot understand the Spirit's language. Mm-hmm. Amen? And Amen. We can't either, but God, because he's so faithful, he will reveal to you what you need in your language. Amen? Amen. He will give you Amen. The understanding. Another way we can fight is with perseverance, church. We got to persevere. We got to persevere. Look at Galatians 6:9. There's a lot of scriptures today. Hallelujah. Galatians 6:9. Look at what it says. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. In other words, if you persevere and if you don't give up on the walk and the race that God has started in your life, you will persevere. You will finish the race that God has started in you. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
And the way we keep from being weary and fainting in our minds is to consider the study of the Bible. Amen. Ponder on his word. Be deliberate. In other words, be intentional. Amen. Grab the Bible. Grab the Bible app. Begin to read it. Ponder on it. Meditate on it. Examine the word. Hallelujah. And meditate on the Lord Jesus Christ. Meditate on his promises. Amen. But in all that, we need to persevere. And this is how we fight the good fight, with the word, with prayer, and with perseverance. This is how we can accomplish a good fight. And when the heat gets turned on, you continue to stand. Because there's a verse that tells me that even if there's fire lit up, you will not burn. God will not allow you to burn. You got to stand, amen, knowing that the victory is yours. So in a battle, don't lay your sword when battles come. In other words, listen, you need to stand up and you need to fight in faith, knowing that your victory is in Christ already. You've already won. You've already won. Fear not. Like the word is saying, fear not. Don't grow weary. Fear not. For the Lord God is with you wherever you go. He is always for you. I always say this. God is for you, never against you. Amen. So we gotta know how to fight the good fight and know it. And you gotta know it, that the victory is yours. You already won. You've already a winner. Amen. The other thing that Paul said, we have to run the race with endurance. Amen. We gotta finish this race that God has already started in us. So let us run. Hallelujah. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews 12:1. Amen. I hope you're receiving revelation. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal this word to you. Amen. Just like he's revealing it to me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There is a race that has been set for all of us. And we need to run, hallelujah, with endurance. And here, you know, I want to talk to you about sin in here. Because sin is not the only thing that hinders us from in our race. There are other things in our life that can come in and hinder us in our race. Amen. Just as a runner, hallelujah, if you can picture a marathon, you can picture people running a race, hallelujah, just as a runner has to remove weights to achieve the best results, we need to get rid of things that keep us from running this race. Amen. Because there are things that will hinder you from running the race. They are distractions. Amen. That will hinder you from running and finishing this race in order for you to get the maximum results. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to go for this race, I want the maximum results that I can achieve in my race. Yeah. Amen. I cannot be distracted. I cannot, you know, I can be tempted, yes, but I will say no to that temptation. I cannot allow things to hinder, and things will come, and they still do, and come and distract you, and come to hinder the race that the Lord started in you. And all these hindrances, all these ways can be different from one person to another. But the things that occupy our time are certainly weights on us. Amen. And it is a weight to our spiritual life. So if you're preoccupied with social media or with your family or with other things, I mean, we can think of a number of things. Amen. It is definitely going to weigh heavy on you, on your spiritual race. Amen. Mm-hmm. And like athletes, we as Christians, we have to lay aside those weights and those sins that will slow you down. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. It's because this is a reality. We're not running a sprint. Okay. It's more like a marathon. Amen. Mm-hmm. And it requires you to be patient. It requires you and I to focus. And we need to consider what we're focusing on. And we need to remain consistent with the race. You gotta pace yourselves in this race. Mm-hmm. Remember, a lot of people, I remember, you know, watching the Olympics, a lot of people are running out of pace, and they may say, hey, they're running slow, but they're just saving their energy for the last lap, and on the last lap, they take off. They take off. Come on, you know? So this is the same thing, you know, for us. We cannot allow anything to distract us. Another thing about the race is, you know, I remember being in school. I remember being in school and running, and I hated it. First of all, I hated running. Amen. But I remember being in school, and I'm one that I always like to look at my adversary and look at the other runner. But you know what that did? It slowed me down. I became distracted, and it slowed me down. Amen. And God is saying, no. Keep your focus. Be patient. Be consistent, and pace yourselves. Pace yourself. And we all have a race. There's a race that is set before us. And your calling, my calling, is unique. Your path is personal to you. Amen. But your race, hallelujah, is unique and it's unique for everybody. Amen.
Right.
But then you are in a race. You are in a race, and you need to run it well. And how do you run it well? You got to keep your eyes on the Lord. You're like, go to Hebrews 12:2. Look at what it says. We were right there. Looking unto Jesus. You know, remember, you know, we're still talking about the race. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. So one of the ways that we can run well, we got to keep our eyes on the Lord. Let me tell you, we're on a race. And if you begin to focus outside of the Lord, you're going to slow yourself down. Amen. Hallelujah. We know that the Lord Jesus already won this race, and he won his race well. And what this verse is revealing, that he is the one that we need to focus on. And there was a joy. There was a joy that was set before him. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus, our King Jesus, he endured, as we know, he endured pain. He endured suffering, church. We know it from the gospel. The way he went to the cross, what he endured, no man on earth can endure what he endured on that cross. Hallelujah. Amen. He not only endured this in his physical, in the physical realm, but my goodness, it was amazing. Like when I think about the cross and how he endured in his physical, then I look at the spiritual, and I said, man, he endured, but he had his eyes set on that price. Amen. He knew that on the third day he was going to be resurrected, and he's going to be the light of glory for the world. Amen. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He literally became sin for us. Amen.
Yes.
He suffered gravely. Amen. For us. He bore our sickness. He bore our diseases. Amen. For the whole world. Amen. And he knew that. He knew that he was going to go through that. And he endured because he kept his eyes on God the Father.
Thank you,
he
Lord.
Kept his eyes on the promise. Because remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, can you take away this cup? Because it is heavy. The weight was heavy on the Lord Jesus. And he even prayed to the Father, Father, is there any other way we can do this? Because he knew the suffering he was going to endure. But then he said, nevertheless, Lord, not my will. Let your will be done, God. And he just surrendered. He surrendered, and he kept his eyes. He kept his eyes on God. He kept his eyes on the world, on redemption. He didn't focus on his suffering or anything else. He just focused on the people, on the people, on God's people.
Yes.
On the redemption of the world, how the world would be a better place for the people.
Mm-hmm.
So he put the suffering behind him, and he focused on the joy that would come to us, to you mm-hmm. and to me, as the result of
Thank
his
you.
sacrifice, because he sacrificed much. He sacrifices all. But that's what the Lord, this is what the verse is saying, that his eyes, right, he focused, he kept his focus for the joy that was set before him. And that's why he was able to endure the cross. Amen. Because he had us in mind.
Yes, Lord.
And today we can definitely say, because of the Lord's sacrifice, today we live. And we can live for today. We can live for tomorrow. Another key to running well is don't compare yourself to others. My Lord, I am so guilty of that. When I began the ministry, when I began in my pastor's shoes, I was so guilty of comparing myself to others. I compare myself to other people. I compare my race to others. Amen. But look at what Galatians 6:4 says. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, how God just truly, truly delivered me from that lie. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Galatians 6:4 says, but let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, not in another. Amen. Let each one examine his own work. See, this is your race. I'm not racing mm-hmm. for you. I'm racing for me. I'm racing for
yes.
the Lord. God has
That's
given
right.
me a gifting. He's given
That's
me a
right.
calling. He's given me purpose. Amen. Just like athletes. Athletes look at others and it makes them slow down, like I said before. You know, there's going to be a hindrance. And let me tell you something. When I compare myself to other people, I became hindered in my walk. But I didn't know it until I received revelation from God through scripture. And
Amen.
I said, Lord, you've made me unique. I'm special. I'm the apple of your eyes, Lord. I know you got a mission for me and a vision for me. And it's not like any other. I thank you, Amen. God, for revealing that to me.
Amen.
You
Amen.
See, God has given us all the equipping for us to finish well. We can finish well because God has already equipped us. Because those he calls, he equips.
Oh, cool.
And we are all unique, like I said before, and we are part of the same body. We are part of the same. We are one body in Christ, but we all have different gifts. We all have different gifts, church. And there's a purpose for each and every one of us. So we cannot compare ourselves, because we need to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus, our eyes, hallelujah, on the finish line. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to complete what the Lord started.
Uh-huh.
So another way to keep running well is to be disciplined. Be disciplined like an athlete. Look at what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We need to be disciplined. Hallelujah. Whoa, isn't that difficult to be disciplined? Very difficult. I'm still trying to do exercises. I just haven't had the time or the motivation. I can't even say time. That's just an excuse. The motivation, hallelujah, to exercise. But look at what the Apostle Paul says. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Let's start in 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable, listen to this, a perishable crown. But we Christians, right, for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run, this is Paul speaking, I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. Amen. Hallelujah. So here, Paul, this is what Paul is saying. Paul wasn't just content with finishing the race. No, he wanted to win. He wanted to finish well. He wanted that prize. And there is a prize awaiting for all of us. And the thing is that selfish ambition is detrimental. Amen. We see it in the world. Amen. But having ambition to advance the kingdom of God is commendable.
Amen.
Are you hearing? Having ambition to finish and advance the kingdom of God is commendable to God.
Amen.
God doesn't like lukewarmness. Okay. Amen. If people agonize to obtain earthly crowns, trophies, maybe a title, maybe an award, how much more should we as Christians, as believers, how much more should we strive to obtain an incorruptible crown that is awaiting for us in heaven?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Because what Paul is saying in these verses, there is a crown, but it's perishable. But the crown of Christians, the crowns that of the believers that fight the good fight of faith, amen, it is an imperishable crown. Amen. Hallelujah. It is waiting for us. Amen. And God already has a crown in place for us. Hallelujah. Yes. And this is one of the things that God is going to, he's going to crown us, as we're going to read later on. Amen. There is a crown awaiting for us in heaven.
Yes, Lord.
Eternal spiritual things are infinitely more important than temporary physical awards.
Mm-hmm.
Your eternal crown is a lot more, carries a lot more weight than a worldly crown. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So God is saying here about the race. Hallelujah. This is what the Lord is saying. This is what Paul is saying. Amen. You need to stay in your lane. You need to stay in the race that God started for you. Stay focused. Amen. Don't stop running until you finish strong and you finish well.
Amen. Amen.
There is a race and that is set before us. Finish well in the Lord. Amen. And the third point in with the verse that we started, hallelujah, the Lord is saying, be a good and faithful soldier of Jesus Christ. In other words, be a faithful one. Walk by faith. Run this race by faith. There's no other way you can run this race without faith. Amen.
Right.
We need faith. Amen. Let's turn to the book of 2 Timothy. Let's go to chapter 2. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And look at what Paul is saying here, again to Timothy in a letter. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Amen. Mm-hmm. So here the Lord is saying, you got to endure hardship. Endure it as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Because no one that's engaged in warfare entangles themselves with the affairs of this worldly life. So what is he saying here? He's saying that soldiers have families, they have wives, they have homes, they have friends, just like civilians do, right? But they have a different commitment level. All of you that were in the military, amen, that served for our country, you understand this very well. Amen. You're soldiers, you have families, amen, you have homes, you have friends, but just like civilians have the same. But they have a different commitment level. They have already committed to leaving it all behind at a moment's notice. Amen. Because you're a soldier. You're soldiers for the nation. Amen. And good soldiers have these things, but they are not entangled with them the way civilians are. Christians have many of the same things, right? We got families, we got spouses, we got homes, we got friends. We have the same things, and we have the same responsibilities that unbelievers have. But they must avoid, we as Christians, we must avoid being entangled with the worldly things of this life. Amen?
Amen.
And soldiers, as we know, they're trained to be obedient, to be loyal, and to endure, amen, through their life in the military.
Right.
And a
right.
good soldier knows who their commander is. They don't live for themselves. They live for the country. They live under the command under the command of their general, of their commander. We as believers, amen, we our life is not our own. Amen. We were purchased. Amen. We were purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus sacrificed himself for me and you. Amen.
Yes.
So we are good soldiers, and we are accountable. Amen. To God. And if he's telling us that he's already equipped you to run this race, we got to believe that he's already equipped you and you're going to run it and finish it well as long as you are under his leadership.
Amen.
As long as you continue to be obedient, as long as you continue to be faithful, and as long as you continue to endure and stand when trials come your way.
Amen.
And you know how you are a good soldier for Christ? You become loyal to Christ above all things. And look at what the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, let's turn to chapter 10 and let's go to verse 37. Matthew 10:37. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Look at what it says. He says, and this is the Lord Jesus speaking, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Amen. So here
Amen.
We have, this is the Lord Jesus speaking. Here we have, we are commanded to walk in love, right? Commanded to walk in love, especially to the members of our own families, right? I mean, this is, you know, the Word of God says, we love because God first loved us. So Jesus was simply speaking here and stating that we should prefer him above any other relationship. In other words, we got to make the Lord Jesus a priority in our life. And this cross is heavy, right? This cross could be any hardship. You know, it's talking about a cross here. It could be any hardship that comes our way because of our union with Christ. Remember, I said it in the beginning, the minute you say yes to the Lord, you will be persecuted. You will be fighting the enemy. You will be fighting situations. But the context is specifically here speaking of bearing the rejection from family members. How many people have come against you because you're serving God? How many people have mocked you because you're serving God? I've had my share. Amen. My own family. Amen. Hallelujah. Even, you know, from scripture, we are in disagreement. And we had to come to an agreement to agree to disagree. But even then, there's still some tension there. Amen. So this is what the Lord is saying. Hallelujah. That we got to make him priority. We got to make him first. Amen.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And people, you know, and we know this for ourselves. People consistently have put other things ahead of their relationship with the Lord. Amen.
Uh-huh.
I believe we are all at fault because I know I am. Amen. In many occasions, I have put other things before sitting and reading the word before the Lord or whatever. Amen.
Right.
I thank God that, you know, God God takes us from glory to glory, that every day we're learning, we're being processed, amen, that we are maturing more and more in the things of the Lord, amen.
Amen.
You know, so this is a reality. And the thing is, you know, we put God a second because we think that these things will improve our daily lives. Like the things of the world will improve our daily lives, but it doesn't. It doesn't benefit us. Amen.
No. Amen.
And Him, in God, we live and we move and we have our being. Amen. Mm-hmm. That's what the word says. So true and lasting happiness can only be found in the Lord. Amen.
Yes.
The joy of the Lord is your strength, is my strength. Amen. And that's what makes a good soldier. God is not saying, you know, leave your family behind, hate them or whatever. No, He's not talking about it. He's just saying, put me first.
Right.
Everything I want to be first.
Place. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Remember, remember the order. The order of God is God first, family second, mm-hmm. and ministry third. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And some churches have it reversed. They put God first, but then they put ministry second. No, it doesn't work that way. Family second. God is very involved with the family. He wants a family united at all times and in harmony. So ministry has to be last. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That is the importance that He's placed in our lives. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Another way that we can be marked as good soldiers if we're willing to suffer for the gospel. You know, look at Philippians 1:9. I'm almost done. This is one of the last keys. Amen. Philippians 1:9. Let's go there. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Philippians 1:29. Not 1:9. 1:29. And it says here, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord Jesus made it very simple. He said, listen, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Amen. If they offended me, they're going to offend you. If they rejected me, they're going to reject you. We've all witnessed that. Amen. But a good soldier, amen, is willing to suffer for the gospel. And all Christians who live, listen to me, all Christians, all believers who live godly lives will be persecuted.
Yes.
That's the truth. The only Christians that are who are not persecuted are those who are not living godly lives. Okay? Because the enemy knows. Listen, you cannot be a lukewarm Christian. Amen? You just can't. You're either all in or you're all out. Amen? So Jesus is teaching us today to love. While the world is full of hate. No, we still need to love. Even love those that persecute you. The word of God says, bless those that persecute you. Bless those that are against you. Amen. Love on those that don't want to be near you. Amen. Hallelujah. But, you know, the world, we see it. It's full of hate. It's full of racism. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Amen. And we're, you know, the reality is, this is what the Lord says. We are to turn, right? We're supposed to turn the other cheek. That's what He says. Amen. While the world takes another opportunity to hurt us, to take us to court, to beat us up. Amen. Even to kill. You know, the world is, there's so much darkness in this world. And right away, there's people that get angry and they right away take out their gun. Road rage. They take out their gun and they just kill people. Like, it's crazy. This world is crazy. Amen. This is why we need to stand in Christ, stand on the word. Amen. We need to be in prayer. We got to pray for ourselves, for our families, for our children. Amen. And because the world and Christianity, they're in conflict. They're against each other. And again, I'm going to say it again. The only reason why any of us would not suffer persecution if we were headed in the same direction as the unbeliever. And when we go God's way, we will bump into the enemy. We will bump into the devil. We've all experienced that. And let me remind you, persecution isn't always life-threatening, okay? Or physically abusive. Some of the subtle persecution is just a rejection or mockery, maybe from a coworker or a family member, you know, which we all experienced in this walk. Yes. But the willingness to suffer for the gospel marks you as a good and faithful soldier for Christ. So God is saying, refuse to be entangled in worldly distractions. Amen. Hallelujah. And this is one of the keys here. You know, if you are one of God's soldiers, you're in God's army. Amen. And he wants us to live like a faithful warrior for him. Yes. Who's already been given the victory. Listen, we already have the victory. The victory has already been won. Amen.
Amen.
So this is, in closing, I want you to go back to 2 Timothy 4:7. Because we're going to close with that verse. Amen. We're going to read it again. Let's go back. In 2 Timothy 4:7, you know, Paul didn't say life was easy, right? But he is saying that it is worth it. It is a life worth living. And what he says here in 7, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept my faith.
Amen.
And he goes on to say in 8, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Amen. So one day, church, you too will look back and make sure you can say the same. I have fought the good fight. Amen.
I have finished the race
and I have kept the faith. One day, make sure that you can say the same. Fight faithfully. Amen. Run consistently, church, and serve loyally and faithfully in God and to God. We are fighters. You are a fighter. You are a runner. You are a soldier. And you are for the glory of God and God alone.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let us close in prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let us close this message in prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, God, for this message. Father God, we just ask during this time, Father God, right now, we ask that you strengthen us to fight the good fight of faith, Lord. So that we can run our race with endurance, Lord God. So that we can live as a faithful soldier for your kingdom glory, Lord. So that we may finish strong and that we may finish well, Lord God. Keeping the faith until the very end. Father God, we just pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And we just thank you, Lord God, for this message. We thank you, God, for the words. We thank you, God, for what you're doing in our lives and how you are edifying us and how you are directing our steps, Lord God, to come to the finish line when that day arrives, Lord God. So we give you the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.